Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Brendan Fortune, the principal product manager at Customer.io. Good afternoon, Brendan. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Good. Looks like you're working from home there today.
Yep, working from home. I'm actually working from my brother's office, not even in my own home. I can work anywhere. So this is where I am today.
Wow. Good. Well, that's good. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, sure. I have been a product manager for 9 years and worked in a few different industries, started in like voice over IP, telecom, then moved to web hosting and cloud hosting for a while. And then the past 3 or 4 years, I've been working in marketing automation companies. So my primary sweet spot is companies that are selling to businesses, most of the time businesses that are offering SaaS products.
Very interesting. And how long have you been at Customer.io?
Just under 2 years.
Okay. So you joined in what, 2019 then, right?
Yes, late? I think so. Early math in my head.
2019, one of the,
yeah.
Or 2020, yeah. And just, my math is off there too. So as long as we're talking about Customer.io, tell us what you do, who your typical product or customer is, and all that stuff.
Yeah. So as a product manager at Customer.io, I focus a lot on coordinating developers and designers around a customer problem. And the way that we like to think about it at Customer.io is around this principle of customer immersion. So if as a product manager, I'm not the voice of the customer who is handing down, you know, like, developer, go write me this specific feature. It's more about trying to close the distance and connect customers directly to the people who are writing the code or designing the user experience. And so a lot of what I do is trying to facilitate customer conversations with developers and designers present. We do a lot of prototyping and test work with customers where we show them what we're working on and ask them to, you know, work through tasks in a prototype and learn from that. Also trying to come up with different tasks that help, again, developers and designers put themselves in customer shoes. So for example, one of the things we did last year was have everyone on the squad, so the product manager, the designer, and the developers, try and build their own fake SaaS product. And just with like a landing page, it was more for the marketing side of things. So try and create a landing page, try to write some marketing copy, try to do some advertising on Facebook and Google and see if you could collect some leads for a, you know, fictitious product, just to try and get a feel for what that workflow looks like and what our customers go through who are really doing that for their own products.
Interesting. So your customers, I mean, because your customer, the word customer is in the name of your company. So it gets a little bit confusing when you talk about customer. Yeah. So how do your customers use your system?
Yeah, so our customers use our system to communicate with their customers. And you can see where the word customer gets increasingly complex. But yeah, so like a business might use us to send a product update newsletter. They might use us to send transactional text messages when an order ships. They might use us to send mobile push notifications when someone logs into their account. Lots of different ways that they might automate communications, but they use us basically to facilitate automated communications with their own customers.
So your customer, I understand.
Yeah, right. Our customers use us to talk to their customers. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And then what you do as the product manager is you're the voice of your customer. Is that correct? You're kind of like a professional services guy to your customer base.
Sort of. So we're kind of in charge of prioritizing what the next feature is we want to build for our customers. So maybe for example, one of the things I'm working on right now is making it a little bit easier for customers to message not just their own customers, but also leads who are not yet customers. So especially for SaaS companies that don't have an account sign up.
So you're the traditional product manager role. You're listening to your customers' needs to say, okay, to develop the product roadmap.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And then someone else might do professional services, which is a pretty common model.
Sure, yep.
Yeah, cool. So tell us about your company. I won't use customer. have you always been remote or is that a recent thing like within the last 10 months? How's that work?
Yeah, I mean, the remote stuff is such a fascinating topic. Customer.io has been fully remote for most of its existence. So it was fully remote before COVID. It continues to be fully remote after. And it was the first fully remote company that I joined. But I did, for about a year, I worked remote as the senior director of product at GoDaddy. So I had some experience working in a partially remote company, which was much, much harder than working at a fully remote company. I wasn't quite sure when I made the switch if product management was going to be efficient and effective in a fully remote company. And now I'm a pretty diehard believer that it's the best way to go.
I would think, actually, you know, thinking about it, you want your product managers to be in touch with the customer more, right? And then you can always talk to your development team through other methods.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Interesting. And then, so you're a firm believer that you'd rather be remote and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it depends on the types of customers that you're serving as a right. product manager, but because most of our customers are B2B SaaS companies,
yeah,
they are usually quite familiar and comfortable with digital communication, like a, you know, Zoom or email or Slack, like shared Slack channels, that kind of stuff. So it's pretty easy to keep the contact and connection up with those types of customers. I think if we were serving, you know, small businesses like dentist offices or something like that, it might be a little more challenging, but for the work that we do, it works pretty well.
Yeah. And are you guys scattered throughout the country?
Yeah. Throughout the world, actually. So most of Customer.io's employees are US based, but we're spread across the West Coast, where the company's actually founded. It's technically our headquartered in Portland. And then there's several of us in the central time zone, and there are several on the East Coast. And then we have folks in New Zealand. We've got someone in China. We've got lots of folks in Europe. We have some in Africa. So really across the globe.
Well, so a good sized company. So now that you've been there 2 years, so now you've used to being 100% remote.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think could be done differently to make remote work more efficient? And what do you think is the future of remote work?
Yeah, I think the future of remote work, it's such an interesting question. My feeling is that there's going to be two different trends that emerge. One of them is going to be the folks that really want to lean in to some of the asynchronous rituals that come out and are really effective in remote work. And then there are going to be the others who are like, we just want to make remote work like in-person work. And those are the types of companies that I think will try and go into virtual reality, try and go really into this future where I may be sitting at my desk in Minnesota, but I can look over and see this virtual person over here and interact with them as if they were sitting right next to me. And my feeling is that both could work. But I think that what I've learned over the past 2 years is there's some real benefits to the fully remote lifestyle. And it's not like, oh, I don't have a commute. That has pluses and minuses. I actually think commutes can be really valuable for giving you some time to just think about problems on your own. But one of the most interesting benefits that I've experienced in the fully remote environment is the writing culture. And I tend to find that when people are forced to write when they're communicating, they think a lot clearer than when they're communicating off the cuff. And so for things like product feedback, for example, especially internal in our company, it's really valuable sometimes to let people have the time and the space to digest a prototype or an idea and then write their feedback up. And they can usually do that in a much more simple and clear way if they can do it in writing in a few sentences than if they're kind of having to think off the cuff and umming and aahing and jumping around a little bit before they've organized their thoughts. There's also a lot less social pressure in that environment, because you're really given the time to say what you want versus like, how do I not insult this person? Some of the, you know, human dynamics that sometimes pop up.
They do.
Yeah. So I think the writing culture, if you're able to get that in your company, especially if you're transitioning remotely, I think that can be such a huge benefit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I never thought of it that way, but when I have to write a spec, you know, I usually do try to take more time than if you're just, putting stuff up on a board with a bunch of people. There are still advantages to that, to storyboard things and all that. But I think you're right. Once it comes time to really do it, you are better off just, hey, give me a day or two and just let me do my thing, right?
Yeah, right.
No calls.
Yeah, I mean, or if, yeah, it makes you, because the cost of meeting is higher, it makes you be more deliberate and choosy about when you choose to take people's time. And that can, it can have extremes. Like if you do like a no meeting culture, I'm not a believer in that at all. I think, I don't think all async or all synchronous is good. I think it's got to be a hybrid. But I do think it's easier to find time to focus when the default is that you're remote and you've got to really organize your own day. And right. So for example, at Customer.io, we spend a lot of time saying, you know, these are my daily goals today, reading other people's daily goals to make sure we understand where dependencies lie. And then at the end of the day saying like, this is kind of what I did, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. And some of those, the rituals that become even more important when you're not in the same room with someone and your work isn't obvious. Really help us kind of stay connected and be a little bit more efficient and keeping each other unblocked. So yeah, so there are some I don't know, some benefits that I don't think I would have believed until I was actually working fully remote.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've worked remotely for over 10 years and I really do. I think I'd have a hard time going back to the old way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, right. I would too.
I mean, there are pros to it. There definitely are.
Yeah.
But I think overall remote's better. So the pandemic forced everyone to go remote about 10 months ago. You already were 100% remote company. So I can't believe it had a huge effect on you, but it had to have some effect. But it also, I would assume, had an effect on some of your customers. And did that also trickle down to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when COVID happened, we weren't sure what was going to happen with our customers, a lot of whom, again, are delivering software over the internet. So they were already kind of distanced from their customers. We weren't sure how that was going to play out. There, I mean, we've had a mix, but by and large, because of our customer focus, we've actually seen more growth post-COVID than pre-COVID. A lot of our customers have done particularly well as more and more work has moved to the internet. And Customer.io's core value, which is trying to help people communicate digitally and in an automatic fashion, plays really, really well into some of the transitions that other companies have had to make post-COVID, when they're trying to figure out how to communicate online in an efficient way. So we've actually, it's ended up growing the business more than it's ended up shrinking it. And we have had some customers who have gone out of business because of it. So it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Right. But knowing what your product line basically is, I would think there would have been more demand just because you're a digital company and things have gotten more digital. So, and you must also have a good product, you know, to grow, you have to also have a good product, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We certainly hope so. And there's always room for improvement, but yeah, it's been great watching some of the new customers kind of onboard and get going. The other thing that's been interesting is we really have a lot of international customers as well, even though we are not an internationalized company in terms, you know, it's all in English. We only process in US dollars, but yeah, I mean, there's been kind of demand across the globe for the same kind of thing. We all kind of are in one big bucket.
Sounds like a good project for a product manager.
Right. There you go.
Internationalization, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I've actually done that. So let me know if you need any help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, Brendan, it was great talking to you today. It sounds like you're off to a good 2021, and I have a feeling you're going to continue to grow. And best of luck to you and to Customer.io.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Bye.
All right. See ya. Bye-bye.